Hello, and welcome to Ask Backwards, where we talk about the past and the present, and we plot our preconceptions at the time that we're tracking with the topic of today, so I'll pass it to my partner for perplexing PSAs. Fuck, I almost got it.
You almost got it, that's a tongue twister, but this ain't Sally sells seashells at the seashore.
She sells seashells down by the seashore?
Man.
The seashore is where she sells seashells?
Listen, I already have alcohol in me. We're doing way too much for so early.
The seashell she sells her seashore shell.
Look, as long as she got shells, I'm going to hit her up.
You're going to hit her up? Your girl Sally, anytime you need shells?
Yeah, literally.
Okay, but as I was saying with the topic of today.
I'm Trent, that's Ed. Today we're talking about PSAs, and if you know anything about PSAs, you know they can be traumatizing.
Growing up, like, there were so many weird PSAs and stuff, and we took we went back and visited some of those. I came to realize while I was going over them, there were a lot of really weird ones, like goofy ones, and then a lot that were just so unsettling and creepy.
I came to the exact same conclusion, and honestly, it was a weird balance because you would have a lot that would be like very heartfelt and very goofy, appearing to the younger children, making sure they don't do stuff that causes house fires or whatever. And then you'd have things like, this is what happens when you do meth, okay? For a long period of time, this is the result of smoking cigarettes all the way up till your 80s. And you're gonna see an old man staring at you like, this could be you, my nigga. And you're like, oh no, while you light another cigarette.
Just that this could be you through the, yeah.
Yeah. I think the one that always stuck by me when it came to, like, the cigarette ones was the one with the lady with the hole in her throat. Because something about that just really, I don't know, it really got you, like, I don't think a lot of people thought it could be possible for someone to have a hole in their throat and, like, live after that before those commercials. Like, that was not...
Yeah, that was, like... Was
imagination.
And, like, there were some cartoons and stuff or, like, TV shows that would have a character that has that issue. But I feel like this... What you're talking about, the PSA, really pushed that a bit more into people knowing about it. Because that was back in a time before TV shows were really willing to show disabled people in any capacity.
Yeah.
So that's like the first foot in that a lot of people saw, like, oh, shit, is that real?
Yeah, and you kind of see like a timeline with these PSAs, especially concerning the fact that they actually started during World War II.
Oh, yeah, for intro's sake, I was meaning to say... This is the podcast where two people who are starting to get older have decided, nostalgia's cool as fuck. Let's talk about our past over a few beers.
And it's not even just necessary our past, maybe even our parents' past, were just things that we grew up seeing that most people just wouldn't know unless they were there.
Yeah, just the past. And, I completely blanked on what I was about to say.
It's all right. Good.
Today, as you could tell from us talking about PSAs, we're talking about PSAs. And there is, because I have this notepad with a few basic one, like, basic little points here, and I don't know if you had, like, your own certain points.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I figured as much. You came up with the topic. You seemed excited to get into this.
Oh yeah, definitely, because like I said, you'll see a timeline with the PSAs as they grow into more of a, you know, conducting out of fear, like, oh, we're scared of gay people, so let's make a PSAs about that, or we're scared of communists, so let's make PSAs about that, and then it goes down into what we are today, which is like PSAs for cyberbullying and for hard drugs and so on. So
I haven't seen a PSA in so long. It's because of the streaming services and everything. You know what? They should, because obviously people like us will go on YouTube and watch an hour-long compilation of old PSAs, because that's kind of part of what I did for the research for this.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they just had on Netflix just like PSAs, the show, I would probably watch that.
Honestly, if they would put that on Netflix, I would probably be way more enthusiastic about that than most shows that are on Netflix. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like, just do, like, they could have old ones and, like, intersplice the episodes with new, like, modern ones, and each episode of PSAs with a special PSA just, you know, for something that's happening currently. I feel like it would be something entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. During my research of PSAs, I honestly didn't think it was still going on. I thought it was a dying art, honestly, until I would watch some of them and realize that I've seen a lot of these recently. And they're kind of like small, maybe like 15-second PSAs that are like hit or miss that you wouldn't even acknowledge any other day. But yeah, it's pretty interesting that how they kind of, you know, transition with technology to do more shorter commercials like the rest of these advertisements are doing.
Yeah, I feel like it's basically YouTube ads is the only option. I always skip after 5 seconds. So even if it was a PSA, I probably didn't notice it when I saw it. But I wanted to ask you, like, what was the most... let's go with funniest first. What is the funniest PSA that you can think of?
The fact that I find this funny is even more fucked up because I understand that feeling. But there was this very childlike PSA, and I think it was advertised by Good Neighbor or something like that. I'm going to have to go back and look while Ed's talking. But this PSA would have these two stuffed animals singing, and they were talking about how the main puppet is suffering from poverty, so they didn't have any food. And so you would hear the puppet's stomach growl during the whole song. And
is that funny or messed up?
Like, I told you, it's funny that it's fucked up that I find this funny, but at the same time, it was kind of, I don't know, I think it was because it was just so lighthearted. Like, oh, if you're, like, starving, just drink water and you'll be fine.
That's got some real, like, Elmo's world.
Yes.
In this episode, Elmo gets addicted to crack vibes.
It definitely felt like it was produced and directed by Sesame Street. Like, it gave
like
off that
SNL
vibe.
Skit.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But it was like, oh, your parents work 3 jobs and they're still broke, so drink water. And no, like, this was like kind of like real lines in the PSA, and I was like, it was funny. I think it's funny because I'm in a full-blown adult and I find, like, shit like that funny. But
hey there,
at the same
kids,
time,
you ever have a nap for dinner?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then what was the fucked up part was at the end. It would be the whole thing they were singing about wasn't a direct quote from one of the kids they interviewed. And it was probably a kid that was in CPS or something.
Uh-huh.
So the kid was like, sometimes when we are hungry, we just swallow air or drink water.
That's a direct quote?
Yes.
Oh, God. Man, that guy immediately, because my next question was going to be like, what's the most fucked up one? Real quick, I wanted to share, for funny, have you seen I Saw Your Willy? This is an English PSA against sending, like, against sending dick pics. That's what it's for. It's warning children not to send dick pics.
Oh.
And when I say it's warning children, like, it's a cartoon PSA.
Yeah, so kind of like the same flavor of the shit I was watching. Okay.
Yeah, like, what it is it opens up with, like, some kids, like, with the voiceover telling, like, the story while it shows the animation of these kids. It's like, one day, these kids were talking and they thought it would be so funny if they sent their friend a picture of their Willy. And it's English, so they call it Willy through the whole thing.
Oh,
and,
my God.
On that app where it goes away after a bit. So, obviously, they're talking about Snapchat. And these two boys take a picture of one of theirs, Willy, and send it to their friend, who's a girl. And she thought it was so funny, she screenshot it and sent it to everyone else.
These are real-life scenarios, so I kid you not, when I was a kid, shit like this happened all the fucking time.
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't valid.
No, like, no. Even as a teenager, like, it just happened twice as hard. As soon as we got phones, it was over with.
But then it shows this kid, he goes to school the next day, and everyone's pointing at him, and they're like, I saw your Willy. I saw, hence the name of the PSA, I saw your Willy. And the kid's freaking out because all the kids have seen it. Apparently the teachers have seen it. Someone should have reported this at some point, but like to someone, I don't know. But it's going through, so he's running home and everyone on the street's pointing at him like, I saw your Willy. He passes a TV and there's like a news reporter's like, breaking news, everyone's seen Billy's Willy or whatever the kid's name was. And then he gets home and he closes the door and his grandma is sitting in the living room. And then she just like looks down at her phone and looks up with him like with like heartbroken eyes, like something's horribly wrong. And then it like cuts to black. It's like, I don't even remember what the message at the end was. It was just like, everyone's seen his Willy. Don't do this.
That is fucked up. I could see why it would be funny though, because it's... But it's still fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
If your grandma even has a chance of seeing you, Willie, don't do it.
Any PSA is going to be a certain amount fucked up, because every PSA is warning you against fucked up shit.
So. Yeah, true. But there is levels to fucked up. That's why I was like, I thought the poverty one was laughable, because I feel like poverty is just so common that it's normalized to this point. So that is kind of like pride. But when it comes to, like, the most fucked up PSAs, I don't know. I seen, like, I think it'd be a tie. Like, I seen this one earlier today, and it was just today. And I'm over here following through with the whole PSA. And I'm high as shit, which is not a good combination. So, I'm chilling, and this dude, this kid, okay, he's upset. The holidays are coming and he's just mad about it. So he's over here. He's ripping up paper. He's pushing paint onto his little sister's project. He doesn't want to hang out with his parents while they decorate the tree. And he keeps ripping up the calendar every time the days get closer to the holiday. And then this boy is like looking at the doorway because he hears the knocking and he hides in the closet. And it finally connects to me. It's like, oh, it's a sexual assault PSA. So, like, the boy was getting assaulted by whoever visits during the holidays. And I'm like, that's literally how it'd be like if parents be so blind to it. They'd be like, oh, my kid's just hitting puberty. Like, no, your kid has a significant personality change. Stop being blind to it. Sorry, yeah. Yeah. That shit kind of fucked with me.
I wanted to bring up with, like, when you brought up the poverty thing, have you ever, like, had a canned food drive in school and had the teachers get mad because you weren't bringing in food?
Oh, yeah. If you grew up like I grew up, you understand the three rules. Box tops, labels, and tops receipts. But tops went out of business. So, like, once the box tops and labels came in, it was over with. You got whatever award they were giving you, which was probably just a sticker.
But I've had teachers get upset at me before because I didn't bring in, like, cans or whatever for the food drive. And I'm just there like, we're the people that the food drive is for. We've gotten money from the food drive, or, like, we've gotten food from the food drive before. Like, my house literally has. And I had teachers back when I was little getting mad because they were like, you need to bring something in, help support the less fortunate. I am the less fortunate, motherfucker.
I can honestly see that, like, the irony of needing or, like, forcing children to donate when their parents are coming back that Sunday to pick up donations.
Yeah, and the thing is that the teachers, it shows when someone's, like, privileged how separated they get from shit like this, because they really thought that in their day-to-day life, while they are working as a teacher, they're not going to run into any students that are the subject of why this goodwill is needed. Anyway, I brought up, was that with the kid hiding, was that the most fucked up one that you could find?
Well, that was, like I said, it was a tie. It was between that one and this other one where it was this woman who had an obsession with cleaning. Oh, okay, I'm gonna be real. It's a three-way tie. It's a woman who has an obsession with cleaning and she's on meth. So she's, like, singing, I can do meth so I can clean and everything's clean. I have the cleanest house on the block. And then this bitch is over here, like, brushing the fucking mirror with a toothbrush. This is not what Cinderella had in store for these young women, okay?
Using meth for cleaning, funny enough, that is some, like, World War II Germany shit. Because you know those, like, chocolate bars with meth in them that they had in World War II for the Nazis? I think other countries might have been doing
it. Oh, yeah.
I know the Nazis were. But those were originally marketed to housewives as like a, if you eat this, you'll be able to get all your housework done immediately kind of shit. And then the husband started trying it because they're like, oh, they just give you energy? Let me try them out, honey. And then the military got wind that they're like, wow, people on meth do a lot. And they were like, we want our soldiers to do a lot. And started giving the soldiers meth bars.
You know, that's...
So you bring me up like, I'm on meth so I can get all my cleaning done. Very historically accurate.
I mean, yeah. Something about meth and cleaning, it ends up being a... always go together, which I don't understand. I never did meth. I don't get it. I will never try meth. It's not something that I've ever been interested in partaking. But, yeah, that one was always just way too rough for me because... After a while, she ends up getting scars, and you know, people who do meth, they pick their face, so she had the pick face look to her, and I was just like, oh, ugh, ugh.
She had the meth face.
Yeah, the meth face.
And the meth baby?
No,
do you know the ad I'm referencing?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that, there's this one, girl goes outside, and she's at a party, she walks up to a dude, and she's like, hey, can you give me some of that? And then the girl that the guy's with is like, yeah, give her some. Which, let's be honest, if it's meth, because that's what they were doing, that's not any meth head's reaction. No meth head is like, yeah, let's give away some meth. Like, and I understand if he's a dealer that he would be like, sure, you could have a bit, because he knows, you know. But the girl he's with, really, if she's on meth and she's not a dealer, she would have just been like, no, don't give her any of the meth. This is our meth.
Yeah, honestly, meth heads are known to be very selfish with their meth. I don't think that's pretty accurate.
But anyway, they give her the meth, and she starts on, here's your meth, and here's your meth pipe, and here's your, and I'm, oh, and here's your meth, dealer,
and here's your meth boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And here's your meth baby.
Yeah.
And here's your meth face, and they hold up a mirror.
Yeah.
So that's the reference, but... I find it wild that meth face came after meth baby.
Yeah, you know, like, if your response is immediately, like, I don't know, the whole concept of that commercial was fried, but the meth boyfriend one was real, alright? Meth boyfriend be out of the pocket. You don't want a meth
boyfriend. And it was meth boyfriends, like, they were, like, two dudes.
Yeah. And I think the other third one that was the most fucked up, I think this is like a tie for the most funniest, honestly. But it was like this Lego setup of a whole, like, the Gulf of Mexico, pretty much. And it kind of looked like Antarctica at the same time. Whatever. They had polar bears and fake animals and people chilling. And next thing you know, they just poured oil off of this perfectly organized Lego set. They probably took like 3 hours to make it. I hope they paid them fantastic for that shit. But they pour like fucking oil over this and have this bitch singing about a song.
Singing about a song. Some Disneyception going on.
She was just singing about how happy she was and how everything's great. And as she's singing...
Turns out she was on heroin.
No, it was literally about the oil. Listen, the oil is rising up and killing off the polar bear, and they're disappearing in the oil.
Oh.
The birds, the people, they're zooming into their frowny Lego face. Like, And it's supposed to be really traumatic.
Did they have to get custom-made frowning Legos? I don't think I've ever seen a Lego frown.
They definitely had heads that were sad Lego man. I identified it. Because I was thinking the same thing. Like, Legos don't frown. Legos are happy, or they make weird faces. They might make a Minecraft pain face before they frown.
Yeah, I feel like, man, I would kill for a meth Lego set, though, with, like, the little meth face heads that you could swap out to other... Actually, you could just use the Palpatine head, you know?
Honestly, if we're going to go with off-brand Lego set, can I get a San Andreas fucking Lego set where I'm fucking CJ on a bike, and I got the Lego fucking police after me, five-star helicopter, Apache fucking bullshit shooting at me?
That's actually a really good point. What if it was off-brand? What if they were getting generic Legos, and that's why they were sad?
No, but listen, the end of the commercials really got me.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end, it was like the oil set took everything out. Cool. And then it comes on the screen. Tell Legos to stop funding BP oil. So, like, that was it.
That's not a public service announcement. They're asking us for the public service.
The announcement was to harass this company that don't give a shit about anybody but their money to stop giving money to another place that don't give a shit about anybody but their money.
Like, this really feels like it's more of a issue to bring up, like, with the government. Like, hey, BP's doing this shit, but instead you're having people reach out to the corporation, which I get because we're run by corporations. I guess that's the course to take. Damn. When we were talking about, like, more fucked up ones, I wanted to bring something up. The NSPCC, do you know them?
No.
Okay, so I came across a lot of, like, English, like, British things while I was looking into this, including the I Saw Your Willy, Pantasaurus, which is hilarious. It's up there with I Saw Your Willy as my top, like, funny ones. It's literally just a musical commercial about a dinosaur that wears underpants and sings about how you should never let anyone touch your underpants or what's in your underpants.
Oh, God.
Pantasaurus. And it's a gumball-looking-ass commercial. But the NSPCC, all of their ads are fucked because they're national something for protection of children something. So it's like, they're all ads about, like, child abuse.
I think the child abuse ads are always the most traumatizing. That and the child sex trafficking ads. Because, like, bruh, I'm sitting here watching my TV, and next thing you know, they're, like, showing a child advertised to me like they used to do on those little fucking promotional channels that they had back in the day. And it was like the child was spinning around and they were talking about how the child is only $4,000 and this is a deal. And I'm just like, bro, what the fuck am I looking at? Like, I could not.
That is maybe the best sentence to describe 90% of PSAs. What the fuck am I looking at?
Like, no, like, honestly, like, dude, I had to get high after watching half this shit.
I mean, you were high before watching half this shit.
For a good reason. The way they display marijuana is terrible. Like, come on.
Oh, marijuana ads. Your favorite of all time. I got it from watching you. A classic.
Yes.
And I always wondered what happened after that ended. Like, because the dad obviously smokes weed. So let's take this from a realistic perspective. I got it from watching you. How do you think that conversation went after they stopped filming?
Dad was like, shit, damn, and then went downstairs and smoked some weed about it. Yeah, like, I gotta really get this shit together, man. And I would have did the exact same thing, so it's like,
I would love if there was just a left turn where he's like, and that's what I was waiting for, why are you stealing my weed? Like, just immediately cuts into, yeah, I know, I take weed. This isn't about you smoking pot. This is about you smoking my pot.
I would have been like, bro, just wait till you're 18. You can smoke together with me under my roof. It's all good, bro.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. But another classic one, Brain on Drugs. You know, this is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
That one always just makes me want more eggs. Like, I'd be like, damn, you didn't season them or anything.
Yeah, and it's a classic, but the sequel was unhinged. Completely unhinged. The woman that is just like, this is your brain on drugs, and smashes the egg with the pan, and then it's just like, and this, and this is that. Talking about different ways your life falls apart on drugs, smashing up the kitchen. And you're just watching this, like, first of all, the first one was so tame. It was poignant. That's part of the reason why people, like, remember it, is because it was just, like, simple fact. Fucks up your brain. There you go. And it was hilarious. But at the same time, it does not lend well into whatever the fuck the sequel was. That's like if you had a movie, like, if Frozen sequel was made by fucking Michael Bay. Like, that's what it was.
I'm gonna be honest. As a kid, when I saw that commercial, the woman, of course, I only acknowledged one thing. And that is, I have a single-track mind, and she is mighty hot, and I have a type. And that is women
fucking
who are
insane.
In or out of recovery, that can beat anything in the house with a pot and not blink about it.
She was clearly on drugs and personally invested.
I dated her, or women like her, and I'm okay with that.
You dated her, specifically her, from the app. Yeah, I dated her for 3 months. She hit me with a pan.
I probably deserved it, and I was okay with it.
Oh, I probably deserve it, you know, whatever.
I was fine with it. Bless her. Nothing but love.
Oh my god.
When it comes to weed commercials, though, I'm gonna be real. No, not commercials, PSAs. My favorite one of all time was a woman going through her life, and she's at the bus, and this woman turns around, and she's like, "You want to get high before we do this?" She's at work or something. Somebody's like, "You want to get high before we do this?" And she goes, she gets a burger. He's like, "Hey, I got a joint in the back if you want to smoke."
But then you said it like that.
Yeah, everybody was like all cool and casual. Like, man, I would love her life. And then it was like, this is the life of a 13-year-old. I don't know about you, but I think I was around 13 when that commercial came out. If not,
I'm not sure I've seen that one.
And I may have not been around 13. I may have been totally capping. But when I was 13, okay, there was nothing like that.
You related deeply on a 13-year-old level.
When I was 13, okay, nobody was offering me weed.
I mean, people were offering me weed at 13.
They didn't. They waited till I was 14. Then they offered me weed.
Shit, dude, I don't think I got past 10. I'll be honest with you. But I was around some bad influences.
But even with them offering me weed, it would happen like once every 3 months. If I ever had that many people offer me weed in one day, there's something wrong here. I'm in a different universe. This is a major
Truman Show. Like, they're trying to bust you.
Oh, kinda. Yeah. All of you are cops, and none of y'all gonna fuck me over. I don't fuck with them.
Yeah, at a certain point, you're just side-eyeing, like, yeah, I know, you said you have a joint, and, you said it in a very weird way, actually. You said you had a marijuana cigarette. Also, you keep grabbing the cuff of your shirt and looking around, like.
And as a 13-year-old, you're mighty paranoid. You're already going through puberty, so you feel guilty enough. And then you're sitting here, and you have motherfuckers asking if you. You feel like if people have conversations with you, you get in trouble. I don't know about you guys, but I just had this natural paranoia. It's just anxiety at this point. I accept that. But yeah, there is no way someone would offer me weed more than twice. I mean, more than once a day. And I wouldn't question my whole fucking life.
First time. Oh yeah, awesome. This is a good day. Second time. You cops. You are you fed? Like, this isn't right.
And then there was that other commercial, which was too real, but also funny, where the dude's like, hey, they always said smoking weed was bad, man, but I'm doing the same thing I was doing 15 years ago. And I felt that shit, because I haven't left the city I grew up in either. But at the same fucking time, shit, compared to everything else that's out there, I'd rather do that.
Yeah, I brought up before the NSPCC. They have a bunch of, like, and, like, a lot of them are just really uncomfortable. There was one I saw, I think it was from them, that it was just a PNG of, like, a little girl, and someone was, like, tracing the like, mouse over, like, her face and, like, acting like they're caressing it, and then it just cuts to black, and it's like, luckily, this girl wasn't real. But, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, it was one of those things that, like, it makes you feel uncomfortable watching it. And I'm just imagining when these things were airing on TV, at like, that one and ads like it. Imagine your parents walking in while you're just watching TV in the living room, and that's on.
You probably feel more guilty than the ad actually supposed to make you if you were doing the things that was on the fucking ad. That's fucked up.
That if the people, like, if someone was doing the shit from the ad, then they should feel guilty. I just felt so fucking dirty, because I was researching these and watching, like, compilations, and when that one came out, it stuck out to me because it just gave me this pit in my stomach of, like, ugh, the fuck is this?
The one thing I will say when studying all these PSAs is that the 1980s were their golden age of PSAs. I mean that they're... Well, think about it. The epidemic on crack, and then on top of that, you got everybody still mad about the Vietnam War. So it's just a lot of tension, and you can really tell with these ads. Like, especially with the fact of how they're... showing the black community. So, there's that.
So, that brings up a question I had since, you know, black community. You can make a PSA about just about anything. Like, as long as you buy the space to air the ad. Back in the early days of PSAs, do you think there were any, like, anti-black PSAs? Like, just targeted around don't be friends with or don't fuck with these people?
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure they got lost to time, but there's anti-black, anti-gay, anti-everything, honestly.
I
mean,
there's definitely anti-gay, I'm sure of that. But I just imagine the cartoony fucking, like, musical-ass PSAs that they have, and it's just like, don't be friends with the dark ones, fucking shit.
Oh, yeah, literally. Like, calling us color folks and shit. But it was another thing I wanted to mention. Remember when we had that safety meeting at work, and they showed us that PSA of the dude tying his daughter's shoes and then getting an injury and not having his arms so he couldn't tie his daughter's shoes anymore?
Yeah, I heard that, like, okay, so you're on day shift. I'm on afternoon. When we went into it, they told us that, like, day shift, like, reacted negatively to it. Like, were people, like, concerned or had a problem or they were, like, shocked by it or something like that?
I think it was more just the shock value of it, but that's usually the typical thing with all PSAs. They're trying to shock you or scare you into doing what the PSAs don't want you or want you to stay away from, pretty much.
Yeah, they try using shock and scare tactics, yeah. But that kind of backfired on second shift, because the meeting, when they started, before they showed it to us, they said, like, some people on day shift were really bothered by this, so keep in mind this is going to be, like, concerning or scary. And then through the entire start of it, because it was, like, if this is going... Since we went in with the introduction, this is going to be fucked, we were watching that just thinking, like, oh... That little girl's about to lose her fucking leg or get hit by a car or some shit. And then when that didn't happen, instead, like, the dad got an injury at work, everyone was just like, oh, we didn't have to watch a child get mutilated. We're pretty happy about that. Like,
I can see why, like, Second shift kind of thought that way, but first shift was more of, okay, this man, it's really focused on this man. Oh no, the man has no arms. Sad.
It's just when you go in with the introduction of this is gonna be fucked, and then they show a little kid on a bike, your first thought is, that kid's gonna die, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that warning they gave us made it so much worse to watch.
Yeah, but I think the premise that we're trying to get here is that PSAs are somewhat manipulative with how they pretty much extend humans' emotions for whatever tactic they're trying to persuade you to do. I find a lot of PSAs do have good, like, intentions, especially the ones that talk about child abuse, say no to drugs, so forth.
Yeah.
But just the way they go about it could be so much better.
Have you seen the one, like, Cartoon, I think it's called? The one where, like, the kid is animated and the adult, like, his father isn't? And, like, through the entire ad, the dad is just beating the shit out of this kid. Just in the worst ways possible. Throw him against a wall, put a cigarette out on his face. But since the kid is, like, animated, it's a cartoon, it's goofy as hell. And they're doing all of the cartoon reactions. Like, his head lights on fire from the cigarette butt, and he, like, dunks it in the sink, and then it turns to ash, and it has all of the sound effects. There's, like birds floating over his head when he gets smacked. And then, like, at the very end, it cut, like, the cartoon kid falls behind a piece of furniture. Then the camera moves and reveals, like, an actual kid laying on the ground. And it's just, like, real kids don't bounce back. The entire ad just fucked with me, because even though they were being goofy about it, it was such a real depiction of the man hurting someone that even with the goofy, like, sound effects and everything, I was like, this is still really fucking hard to watch, you know?
Yeah, I didn't see that ad, but it kind of reminded me of a similar ad that I've seen where it's pretty much showing how influence kids are to their parents, so whatever the parents doing, the kids doing as well. So you see parents littering, the kids littering, the parents screaming on the phone, the kids screaming on the phone, a parent busting in the car, the kids busting in the car, and then it gets really intense where you see the parent beating on a woman and then the kids beating on the woman as well. So
it dawns on me that PSAs, there are so many, and it's so wide-reaching that us just individually researching this has resulted in us watching entirely different shit than one another. And the only ones that we have in common are the ones that are from both of our childhoods, basically.
Yeah, honestly. And that just shows you the amount and the extent that PSAs are, really. And I think that just says something about the reflection on society and how we view society, that we constantly need help. And out of all the PSAs I did see, I only seen one for mental illness, and that kind of made me sad, because there should be a lot more.
I mean, yeah, but to be fair, a lot of the stuff covered in PSAs are things that can result in mental illness, so kind of, I'm sure that there's a certain amount of help being done towards mental illness and issues by helping address some of these issues at the source. But at the same time, there are also many mental illnesses that aren't caused. They're not things that people, you know, had something happen to them and now this is the case. So having more attention towards this could happen to anyone, it's something that is a horrible thing and we should address this directly, would be fucking wonderful. Because I feel like, though yes, a lot of mental issues can be caused by issues in our society that these PSAs are broaching, we really should have more direct, like, what's the term? Direct action on educating people about this stuff in the first place.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I will say that PSAs do, in some way, help, but at the same time, they do also paint things in kind of this gray area. Or this black and white area when it really is a gray area, especially when it comes to, like, addiction and mental illness and so on. So, I'm really conflicted about my viewpoint on PSAs, but I will say I did see a lot of ones that if I did watch when I was younger and more easily influenced, it probably would have made a better help in my life.
Have you seen Drugs, Drugs, Drugs? That one?
Yeah, probably.
Oh my god. The entire thing, like, it sounds like it's vouching for drugs, because the song is literally drugs, 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 which are good and which are bad. And it goes over, like, the positive benefits of drugs, but the part of the song where it goes over the negative, like, issues, like, the bad things about drugs.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, mumbled over, like, they don't articulate it well, so it's kind of hard to tell that they're saying the negative stuff about drugs. So if you just listen to it without, like, trying to understand what they're saying, it just sounds like they're saying, like, we endorse drugs!
Yeah, low-key, low-key.
I wanted to bring up, like, celebrities, because you were bringing up the different ways that they try to manipulate, kind of, like, fear, shock, what have you. But celebrities were used a lot in PSAs, just to try to hook people because, hey, this person that you admire says no to heroin, so you should say no to heroin. It's basically the idea.
I think the most classic celebrity PSAs is the Michael Jordan one that turned into a big-ass meme, where Michael Jordan is looking directly at the camera lens with his pure soul, saying, no, stop it.
Get some help.
Get some help.
Stop it. Get some help.
That's got to be the best one, but celebrity PSAs is real. I mean,
Mr. T.
Yeah, there's the Mr. T one. And then, of course, there's the Pee-wee Herman one.
The Pee-wee Herman one is fucking... I'm so glad that we got to this. Pee-wee Herman, the Pee-wee Herman PSA just was wild. Like, it's one of those things where it's almost a jump scare when Pee-wee Herman comes onto stage for it, like, when the light pans, it reveals him. Like, you're just thrown off. Like, for a split second, you're thinking, like, what is this? Is this an ad for Pee-wee's Playhouse? And then he says those magical words that are ingrained into my mind forever. This is crack.
Yeah, Pee-wee Herman's introduction to crack is all I needed in my childhood, honestly.
Oh, God. Oh, turns out that was filmed, like, just a couple of years, like, I think, like, 3 years or something like that. I might be off. But just a little while before the whole jerking off in public thing for Pee-wee Herman.
Actually, what I learned from me and Ed was talking about this earlier, about how we both have some things to say about this Pee-wee Herman PSA, but the thing about the Pee-wee Herman PSA, it was actually under his court sentence for him to do that PSA because his gross sexual impulse or whatever.
Impulsivity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, so did I get the timeline mixed up?
Was it? Yeah. So he was already stripping and wandering around naked before that PSA.
He was already wanking, cranking it, like, out in public?
Yeah.
Just, like, on street corners, just, this is crack.
Yeah, yeah. So, that was a condition for him to actually do that. And
just hit him with the, this is crack, then he pulls down his pants.
Oh, hell no. But, yeah, that just shows you how unique celebrity court cases can be. Where they can sentence you to do a PSA for kids for crack.
Community service?
Yeah, that was under his community service.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, I need to commit more crimes. I could become a star.
I need to commit more crimes. I'm done.
No, yeah, because if I get, like, hit with any charges, be like, hey, you have to serve so-and-so community service, I could go become a fucking star. You'll just see me popping on the TV for a random ad. Hopefully I get one of the musical ones. I could just be like, don't do heroin. I'll be a fucking millionaire by the end of it.
No, literally. I mean, a lot of these PSAs are fried. I'm just surprised I didn't run across anti-trans PSAs, because I know they're out there. I know you're out there, and I'm looking for you. I'm going to find you.
Oh, there's probably more of them on the horizon with how the world's going right now. Like,
and that's perfectly fine. You know what? I went to Haiti and I pissed in the man's bathroom and I don't care.
All right, I mean, you got more say on this matter than me. All right?
Yeah, I know, I felt.
Like, I wouldn't say that it's fine, but at the same time, no one's fucking paying attention to PSAs nowadays anyway.
And if they are, is because they have a field on it, or they're making money off of it, or some type of way. Or they apparently are like Pee Wee Herman, and their court told them they had to.
Yeah, I just imagine in a few years we're going to... Just imagine who's going to be in PSAs in the future. What celebrity from nowadays do you think would be great to see just, like, in a chair talking about fentanyl or some shit?
I vote Steve-O for obvious reasons. I need Steve-O to tell me about the dangers of PCP.
That would be so wonderful, but I feel like it'd be like the Pee Wee Herman one where no one would be able to take it seriously.
But they can, because Steve-O has been sober for 5-10 years now.
Good point. That would definitely help, like, make a point about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Steve-O, if you're hearing this, do it. You're great.
I want Danny DeVito. I just want to see Danny DeVito come out on stage, his squatty, funny ass. And when I say funny, I'm not just saying, like, because of how he looks. Like, man is hilarious.
I will admit, Danny DeVito is funny as hell. I loved him once. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but at the same time,
just there's the a entire lot of cast choices. Always, this sounds like an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Danny does a PSA.
Honestly, I can see it.
What's his character's name in
there? I have no idea.
Yeah, no clue. What's Danny DeVito? Is Danny DeVito?
But if there's anything else you want to conclude for this?
No, I think we covered all of the main points, everything that we really wanted to get to for it. Which was mostly just rambling about the different shit.
I will say that the animals are mighty big subjects in these PSAs. They always got a nigga dressing up as a snake or a bear whatever.
That actually brings up, this was the last thing I wanted to talk about. I just noticed it in my notes. Have you seen the smoking dog PSA?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, the one where he's just outside. The woman comes out, she's just like, hey... come inside, and then he's just smoking, and she's like, I guess I fucking won't then, and just goes inside. Like, who gives up on their dog, like, that quick?
Yeah, that's fucking fried.
But the best part is he looks into the camera, he's just like, I'm a dog, what's your excuse? I'm like, you're a dog, what's your excuse? Like,
I think one of my favorites was the snake drug dealer, because, like I said, the 1980s was something else.
Yeah. The one where it just ends with, like, am I the kind of guy that... Do I look like the kind of guy that would do that to you? Yes! And it's just... He slowly morphs into a monster as it goes. And... another one. Who's More Dead? Have you seen Who's More Dead?
Yeah. And I did also want to mention... this classic quote, and I will say it. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? That was a PSA for the books. I don't think anything else was quoted as much as that. If you don't know where your children are at 10 p.m. in the city I'm living in, they're probably buying drugs.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? Locked in the basement. I'm a good parent.
Yeah, that's also a couple parents around here. Not gonna lie.
Oh, fuck.
But, yeah, it's some crazy shit that I honestly couldn't really find who introduced that, but that definitely became a sensation around the world, where it was even quoted on TV shows all the way up to The Simpsons.
Oh my god, Simpsons quoted, like, everything. I'm surprised that Simpsons didn't quote Pee Wee Herman's, this is crack.
No, they probably saved that for Family Guy, to be honest.
Nah, yeah, I can see that on Family Guy, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, we don't have an outro yet. Do you want to, like, just...
All right, thank you for our listeners from here and far away. This is Trent. That's Ed.
I'm Ed.
This is Ass Backwards. Have a good day and a good night. Love you, fuckers.
Remember, don't do crack. Probably. That's what the TV says.
That's messed up.